You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Tuesday, February 4th. This is The Christian Commute, and you are riding home with me, your host, Seth Dunn, on a 62-degree February day in Georgia. So wonderful weather we're having. It's dark outside because it's 2 days after close and I'm burning, well, the midnight oil. I guess not literally. Has it been raining? I don't know. But I have a full show for you today. Another one. And the inbox is getting low. I just want to say that. I had a bunch of questions in there, and I've been running through them. So you guys who keep it full, like Michael from Texas, who I answered yesterday, fire back. Uh-oh, somebody sent me a text message. I bet it's my wife. Okay, so I may be diverted to the grocery store, and also forgot what I was talking about. Anyway, send in some questions. Here's today's full show. Let's get right into it since I'm on the interstate. Today's show topic is catered Christians, and I might say the Super Bowl and the catered Christians or something like that. I have a question in the inbox, the follow-up question about salvation, and as always, we have the Bible chapter review. We continue in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 9 through 10. So we just got through talking about how Christ is a stumbling block to some. He's a stone of offense because they're disobedient to the word and God has appointed to them their doom. Now, in contrast, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now, I'm not going to give them all to you, but that statement is chock full of Old Testament references. And so is the rest of Peter's statement on down into verse 10. So Peter is drawing on the scriptural idea here of a chosen people. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Who chose you? God. You're a priest of who? God. You're a holy nation. You're set apart by God to God. A people for God's own possession. Ain't about you, man. It's about God. You are for His own possession. For you were once, Peter says, not a people. You were once not a people. But now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So those who are not a people have not received mercy. But those who are chosen to be the people of God do receive mercy. God's doing the choosing. God's handing out the mercy. And it's only because God has chosen you and given you this mercy that Christ is who He is to you. Instead of a stone of offense, or a stumbling block. So moving on to the inbox, we'll end the Bible chapter review right there. Do you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics? You can call 470-315-0875. That's the Christian Commute Roadside Assistance Line. Or you can email SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. That's the Christian Commute Roadside Assistance Line. That's the inbox. Sorry. Send me your question about theology or apologetics. Keep it short so I can memorize it. Tell me where you're from. So, Phil from down under in Sydney, Australia, he's following up. He wrote in, was about a week ago, I guess, asking, what about people in the deepest, darkest Africa who never hear the gospel? What about them? Can they be saved? And I gave my answer on that. Now he's saying, what about babies are the mentally handicapped. I think he says the intellectually handicapped. So I think by this he means somebody, if you told them the gospel, they wouldn't understand the words. Because they're so intellectually handicapped, they don't understand languages or messages. And here's the thing. There's degrees of intellectual handicap. Like a mongoloid person, what do you call that? Down syndrome? Like, they could understand the gospel. Like, yeah, they're not as smart as somebody who doesn't have Down syndrome, and they're never going to be. They're what we call mentally retarded. But they can understand things. So even a child at a certain level. I mean, you can be a child in elementary school and understand the gospel. So I would say what I think Phil really means is the severely mentally handicapped. People can't not only talk, but they can't understand you. Because there are autistic people out there who can't talk. They're mute because of their autism. But you know, their IQ could be through the roof. They understand what you're saying, but they can't communicate back to you. So I think he means a severely intellectually handicapped person who not only can't respond to you, but can't understand what you're saying. Or what anybody's really saying. And then babies obviously can't talk and think of higher level things. So what about them? Obviously these people can't accept the gospel. Because they, like a baby doesn't understand you, or an intellectually disabled person. Now in the case of the baby, well, they will naturally grow up and be able to understand. The case of the intellectually handicapped person, no, never. They'll never be able to. That's because they're severely retarded. So what about these people? Can they accept the gospel? And the answer is no, they can't. So that's the answer to the question, but I think Phil's asking something a little more. Well, what about their relationship to God? Well, can they go to heaven? How will they be judged? So what we know biblically about every man, whether it be a baby or somebody intellectually handicapped or somebody who's not, they're born into Adam. So they're born with a sin nature. They're born into sin. They're born dead in their sins. That's what we know about everybody. Okay, so that's on the one hand. It's not like they're innocent. They're born into Adam. They're sinful. And by the way, death is an effect of the fall. So I think we're talking about a baby who dies without ever coming to the point where he can intellectually respond to the gospel. Well, the baby's only going to die because of the effects of the fall. That's why people die. That's also why people are mentally handicapped. That's why there's sickness and unhealthy people. We've lost our Edenic perfection. That's the result of the fall. Right? And I can't... That second part about we have retarded people because of the fall, I can't point you out a Bible verse that says that. That's inferred through systematic theology. Frailty in general. So what about these people? Well, they're going to die. And in the case of the baby, I guess we're presupposing that this baby died before he ever grew up. And I've covered this before, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. I know this is a question a lot of people have, but I think I've dedicated a whole show to this topic before. They're going to be judged according to their works. So let me ask you this, Phil, or anybody else is listening. Can a baby sin? Can a severely intellectually handicapped person sin? Can they commit evil acts by which to be judged? And do they know or understand good and evil? And I think there's a passage in Deuteronomy somewhere that talks about young children, and I think you could apply this to the severely intellectually handicapped, where it says they neither know good nor evil. Like they don't understand it. Now, I don't I don't think there's an age, a quote-unquote age of accountability, like 6, 7, 8, that people develop intellectually. I can say from my own personal experience, I remember telling a lie when I was 4 and I knew it was wrong. I think I was condemned in my sin then. So what I'm telling you, like, let's talk about like a newborn baby, like an infant, or even a baby that's aborted or dies from a miscarriage, what they call interuterine fetal demise, which I sadly know the name of that from life experience. Obviously, that baby didn't commit any sins. He was born into a sin. He was born into sin, being born into Adam. So biblically, we know that even though they're born into Adam and born with a sin nature, they haven't committed any sins, and they don't even know that they're a sinner. They don't know that. And we know that Christ's righteousness is not going to be imputed to them because they don't have a relationship with Him, because they haven't accepted Christ as the gospel, so they're going to be judged according to their deeds. But what deeds are they responsible for? How then will they be condemned? And then we can understand in the resurrection, the effects of sin are wiped away. When we have a very broad sense of the atonement, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Well, remember, the world is everything. Now, we know not everybody in the world goes to heaven, but we know the world's going to be repaired and remade and reconciled to God, and the atonement has something to do with that. So, I don't want to theorize, but we could imagine a resurrection world where the dead baby is resurrected into perfection, or the severely intellectually handicapped person is resurrected into perfection, where they can know God, but they also don't have any sin by which to be judged. When it gets down to that, here's the thing, biblically, Phil, the Bible is for me as a Christian. It tells me how to live as a Christian. It also tells me, as part of living as a Christian, how to evangelize. I'm to evangelize everybody. So I can't evangelize a severely mentally handicapped person, and I can't evangelize a baby. Nor can I disciple them or tell them how to live, nor can they read the Bible and live a Christian life. So the Scripture is not about them. So that I don't have an answer about them makes sense. They're outside of the scope. So think of like somebody like me. I'm an accountant. I've been an auditor. If somebody hires me to audit their accounts payable at their company, and then at the end of the audit engagement, when I'm given my report, somebody from the management or the board of directors and says, "Well, what about our accounts receivable?" I'd say, I have no comment about that. It's outside of my scope. The fate of people who cannot be evangelized or discipled is outside of my scope. It's outside of the scope of the church. Now, as the church, we know we're to take care of the poor and the weak. So that we take care of intellectually handicapped people. We take care of babies. We know they're made in the image of God, and we're to love that person as best we can. But we can't evangelize and disciple them outside of the scope. You want a biblical answer for something that the Bible doesn't address specifically. And I can only give you a biblical answer because that's the special revelation that God has given me. So the best I can do is take that special revelation and infer what I know. That children, according to what it says in Deuteronomy, I'm not sure the chapter, I want to say 6, but I'm not sure, neither know good and evil, like they don't yet understand it, and that people are judged according to their works. And I know people who are severely mentally handicapped and babies can't sin because they're not doing works. So the rest, they're left up to a just and holy God. God would be justified in bringing them into the kingdom and letting them live in paradise. And God would also be justified, because it's His choice as God and they're born into sin as Adam. He'd be justified in sending them to hell. He knows the best thing to do, and He's going to do it. That's my answer. But what are you to take away, Phil, as a Christian? Exactly what the Bible tells you to take away. You are to, Great Commission, make disciples and baptize them. So make disciples and baptize out of whoever will respond to you. In a way, Phil, the guy in deepest, darkest Africa is outside of your scope because you can't evangelize him. How does God treat the people you can't evangelize? You can't evangelize. They're outside of scope. Now, obviously, the person in deepest, darkest Africa, he is inside the scope because we're to go to all nations. We're to go find these people as a church. That's why there are missionaries in the deepest, darkest Africa right now. But what I'm trying to say to you generally, Phil, is we shouldn't worry about or split hairs about things outside of our scope. These are people I can't evangelize because they can't understand me. So dead babies, not living babies, because the living baby is going to grow up. So dead babies, I can't evangelize a dead person, it's, you know, whether they're a grown or a baby. I can't evangelize dead babies. And I can't disciple dead babies, and I can neither evangelize nor disciple the severely intellectually handicapped. What I can do is love those people and take care of them. So that's what I'll do as a Christian, and that's what you should do. The Bible is not about their fate, it's about yours. You get what I mean? And yes, we do know that everybody who's not in the kingdom is appointed to doom. All right, so moving on, let's go to today's show topic, catered Christians and the Super Bowl. A lot of people are offended about what happened at the Super Bowl halftime show on Sunday. And 49ers fans are offended that their team blew a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter in 6 minutes. I did not watch a single down of the Super Bowl. I was doing other things at home. With my wife. And I think my kids were watching cartoons or something. And they would rather watch cartoons than the Super Bowl, so let them watch cartoons. If it was, say, the Falcons or the Dolphins, because those are the NFL teams I like, the Falcons because I've lived in the Atlanta area for so long, and the Dolphins because I grew up rooting for them. Maybe the Titans because I like Derrick Henry. If it was some team like that, I might have watched it, but I really don't care about the Chiefs or the 49ers, and I didn't watch it. And on top of that, I was seeing how profane some of the commercials were going to be. Like, I knew there was a commercial about drag queens, with drag queens in it. Like, I don't want to put that in my house, in front of my kids. I'm not going to watch that, even though it's just a commercial. And when it gets to the halftime show, it's like, Jennifer Lopez and Shakira are going to be doing it. I mean, I didn't expect it to be modest or godly in any way. I know how those performers perform. That's their business. And they've had ungodly halftime shows before. Just outright ungodly. If the halftime show's Paul McCartney at a piano, like, okay, good. But some of this stuff, I'm not going to put that in my house. And I don't care about halftime show. Guys, let's face it, the halftime show is for women because their husbands are having a Super Bowl party at their house and they're going because it's a social thing to do. And they haven't watched football all year and they don't care. It's something for them to keep them watching at halftime. And to keep men watching at halftime, it's going to have to be salacious. This is why it's done. But I have heard reports of this Super Bowl halftime show, and you got Jennifer Lopez half naked dancing on a stripper pole and grabbing her crotch, and all of a sudden people are offended. What did you expect when they said Jennifer Lopez was doing the show in Miami? Were they in Miami? You think they're gonna salsa dance and or half naked or not? And grab, you know, I don't know why they had to grab their crotch where she had, but that's what's happening. Somebody acting like a stripper. So what you had is millions of Americans tuned in with their kids eyeballing this woman dressing like a stripper. And people, some people are applauding it. Like, why in the world am I going to applaud a woman? Is she four times married or three? Who's 50 years old, half naked, dancing on a stripper pole. You failed, Jennifer Lopez. You have failed in life. You're 50 years old, dancing half naked on a stripper pole. You're four times divorced or three times divorced. I don't care how much money you have. You failed. Repent. And I don't know as much about Shakira because I don't read all the gossip blogs and magazines and whatnot. It's amazing in America how much you can know about some celebrity not reading a single gossip article. Anyway, people are offended, especially Christians. And you got Franklin Graham, the moral conscience of America, like Mr. Trump supporter. Give me a break, Franklin Graham. Oh, we, blah, 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 you know, this is immoral, blah, blah, blah. And it is. But what did you expect from the world? It's not so much the condemnation that I don't understand. We as Christians should condemn things so worldly and wicked and vile. But what did you expect from the world's party? Here's the thing. The Super Bowl is not just a football game. It's an event. It's a it's almost like a national day when everybody gets together. I went, I guess it was around halftime or the third quarter, to feed my dad's dog because I forgot. And I went and pulled into his driveway, and all the, like, two of the neighbors, their driveways were full. The street was full of parked cars. I said, what's going on? And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember now. The Super Bowl's happening. And you guys know me. I'm a big football fan, but I didn't watch it. And I'm an Alabama fan. I watch Alabama. And that's what was going on. So we all get together as a society. And we think as a society, well, they're going to cater to us. And they are. They are catering to you. It's an entertainment product. You as a society. But as Christians, do not expect to be catered to. So as Christians, if you sat down and some of y'all... church had Super Bowl parties and broadcast this on your church projectors. You brought this into your living room. You brought this into your churches. And now you're offended. Why do you expect the world to cater to you? We should expect the opposite. The world is full of people who are disobedient to the word, and their doom is appointed to them. And Jesus is a rock of offense to them. Period. Now, did this stuff happen 50 years ago? Nope. 40 years ago? Nope. 30 years ago? Nope. 20 years ago? Well, how long ago was Janet Jackson's boob out on TV? Was that 20 years ago now? Wardrobe malfunction, quote unquote? Come on. Why is society on the quote-unquote moral slide? I would say there's less nominal Christianity. And that's a part of it. I don't think this kind of thing would happen in a Muslim country. Maybe not even China. China censors sexual stuff all the time. There is a certain amount of what we call common grace out there where even lost people know that putting strippers in front of 10-year-olds during the halftime of a football game is not right. In fact, never put a stripper in front of a 10-year-old. Or somebody dancing like a stripper on a pole. I mean, Jennifer Lopez didn't really take all her clothes off, but I mean, why not? Really, why not? Maybe that's where they're going. But all of you people out there who are outraged, and I've seen you on Facebook, why were you even watching that? Why didn't you turn it off? Jennifer Lopez was just in a movie about strippers. I hope you didn't go see it. If you wouldn't go see that movie, why would you put that in your house at the halftime? Why didn't you turn the halftime show off? Why didn't you change channels? And why, this is what you gotta understand. Why should you expect any difference? I think Christians have spent so long being catered to. Because we get catered to at Seeker Friendly Church. We get catered to by political candidates like Donald Trump. Donald Trump caters to evangelicals. I don't think he believes the Bible at all, but he caters to you. That's why many of you like him. That's why so many of us voted for him. Us being evangelicals. I did not vote for him. We are used to being some kind of moral majority, i.e. Gerald Falwell. We're used to that, and we're used to being catered to. But when I read the New Testament, I don't expect that, or I don't think that the people to whom Peter was writing expected to be catered to. So I think we need to change our mindset if we're Christians who expect to be catered to by the entertainment of the world. This is the world's party. Don't expect it to be Christians. Don't expect them to trot Franklin Graham out there at halftime to give a gospel presentation. Billy Graham could fill stadiums, but they never had him giving a gospel presentation at halftime. Fox wouldn't even let some pro-life anti-abortion commercial be aired. Hey, look, I got an idea. Let's spend $1 million on a 30-second anti-abortion commercial for the world to watch. You know, the same world who wants to see J-Lo jiggle around with Shakira. Stop being so shocked. Stop expecting to be catered to. Because I think when we're Christians and we want to be catered to, it makes us lethargic, lazy Christians. The world is supposed to be doing something for us. No. We're supposed to be a light to the world. Shine our light so brightly that people pay attention to us and the gospel message instead of J-Lo's shaking booty on a stripper pole, grabbing her crotch, or whatever demonic thing Beyonce did a couple years ago. People, there's a church of Beyonce. I ain't kidding. I feel sorry for Jennifer Lopez. I feel sorry for Beyonce. They're under judgment. What I don't feel sorry for, or who I don't feel sorry for, is some Christian or some Christian family who hosted a Super Bowl party and blasted that content in front of their kids. I don't feel sorry for you. You should be ashamed. You should know better. And if you didn't expect to be catered to all the time, you'd have a different mindset. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. As always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.